Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday. I hope the weather is a lot nicer where you are than it is where I am. Yesterday, it was hot and gorgeous and, you know, you needed sunblock. Today, it's wet and drizzly and cold. It's just ridiculous. So I hope that wherever you are, you've got far better weather than we are having here in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. Happy Monday. I'm Richard Sims, the executive editor of Soaps in Depth magazine, and I'm going to be your host for the next hour or so as we talk soaps. If you want to call in to talk about soaps this evening, do it now in the next half hour or so at 347-989-0685, because at 7:30 we're going to be joined by a very special guest. No, I'm not going to tell you who it is, not until it's time. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm kind of psyched. I've wanted to do this for a while because I think the person is a lot of fun and should be a blast. Anyway, the thing we're going to start off with here at the top of the hour is May sweeps. We've just wrapped up May sweeps. It's June 1st. I'm 95 days away from going on the Norwegian Gem, for those of you who are keeping track. And I'm sure all of you are, who wouldn't be. But June 1st means that we just wrapped up the all-important May sweeps ratings period. Ratings were, so far, you know, we've only got ratings through about the first half of the month so far, and they're a little up and down all over the place for all of the shows, which isn't really surprising. That happens a lot. But I want to kind of run through and talk about some of the stuff, and I'd like to find out what you guys thought worked during May sweeps and what didn't. All of the soaps obviously had big things. The biggest surprise for me personally was of the entire May sweeps period was the fallout from from Paige finding out about JJ and Eve's affair on Days of Our Lives. Not because it was unexpected, not because anything, you know, particularly interesting came out of it, but because True O'Brien, who, I'll be honest, I have not been interested in Paige pretty much from the beginning. I thought she and JJ were kind of cute. I like Casey Moss. I think he's a great, talented actor. But I really, Paige always fell flat for me. And then all of a sudden they played this reveal, and True O'Brien comes roaring out of the woodwork and just absolutely blew me away. So for me, that was probably the highlight of May sweeps. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on the day's canvas, but that was the one thing that really jumped out at me. Y&R, of course, we've spent a lot of May dealing with the murders on The Young and the Restless, and it's certainly starting to look as if Marco, a.k.a. Jack's doppelganger, is the person responsible. I thought the flashbacks today were interesting. I thought it interesting that this international Colombian drug lord who looks just like Jack Abbott, that nobody has ever noticed, that he had basically the same vocal intonations. And why is Marco screaming out in Spanish when he's asleep at night, but when we flash back to him having scenes with his girlfriend, he's talking in, you know, pretty perfect English. So we had that going on there. That is probably the biggest story on Y&R, although the most interesting story for me on Y&R continues to be sort of some of the fallout and the action around the Gabriel/Adam story. I continue to think that Justin Hartley is probably one of the best hires that soap has made in a very, very long time. I just think he's an incredible recast. I know there were a lot of people who vowed that they would never watch the show again when Michael Muni was let go. And I don't know, for all I know, maybe those people have never watched. And if so, I feel sorry for them because Justin Hartley has done a fantastic job. He'll also be appearing on Mistresses when it debuts. He'll be there for an episode or two. I'm very excited about Mistresses' return. I love that show. I know it's cheesy, bad summer TV, but I love it. You know I love my cheesy TV. I wish Mistresses wasn't coming back with a two-hour debut, because I think that's a little off-putting for people. I think 2 hours of anything is a little off-putting. I mean, yeah, sure, I'll sit through 2 hours of The Bachelorette, but I'm going to record it, and I'm going to fast-forward through all the boring stuff, you know, the dates. I just want to get to the drama. The Bold and the Beautiful has to have been, for my money, the winner this month as far as May sweeps goes. I think The Bold and the Beautiful is just firing on all cylinders. Yes, I wish that Rick had had, you know, a little bit more of a reaction, but to me, good soap is when they are able to surprise you, but not in a way that is necessarily completely out of bounds of believability. And, you know, the fact is they established that Rick and Maya are very much in love, and that so to have Rick sort of accept it was lovely. It was a lovely, unexpected turn. We all thought Rick's head would explode. I thought today's script with Rick and Maya discussing everything was fantastic, but the highlight of today's episode was really all of the history and great use of history during the scenes between Steffi, Liam, Ridge, and Eric. One of the things that soaps do better than any other genre is use their history and sort of, even just in casual dialogue, use it to give extra layers to storylines and scenes as they're playing out. And that certainly was the case today on The Bold and the Beautiful during those boardroom scenes, as this whole struggle for control of Forrester Creations has been underway. Oh, how can I forget? I'm sure at least half of you out there are like, Richard, I can't believe you haven't mentioned this. Something happened today on The Young and the Restless. Something I never thought would happen. Something I have advocated for, I'm going to say, years. I'm going to say even before I was on Twitter, I was advocating for this, but it never happened. And then all of a sudden, it happened. And my heart stopped because Yak, a.k.a. Fake Jack, mentioned chemo. Chemo, can you believe it? You guys know. Okay, for those of you who don't know, chemo is Jack Abbott's son with Luann. It's a woman he met when he was in Vietnam. They had an affair. Jack left her behind, and years later she and her son Chemo showed up in the United States, and for a while they had story, not for very long. Christine Blair actually reunited them, and today they actually and for the longest time, ever since Chemo left the canvas, they have not mentioned Chemo. Never. He, like, you know, they'll have these whole scenes where Jack is going on and on about how important family is, and I will always send out a tweet saying, really, Jack, it's that important? Why haven't you mentioned Chemo? And wouldn't you know, it takes doppelganger Jack to actually bring up Chemo. I also thought The Young and the Restless did something really fun today when they basically used, you know, Yak now knows Gabriel is actually Adam. And he went to meet with Victor, and he said, you know, oh, I know who Gabriel's father is. And instead of, you know, spilling the beans, which I sort of thought they might because they seemed to rush this whole story point very quickly over the last couple days, instead they had Yak claim that Jack is Gabriel's father. And I thought that was just a brilliant way, because it keeps that secret in Yak's pocket, gives him a little bit of power. One of the things, you know, if you've been paying attention to what's on the horizon over the next few months, is that the person known as Yak and or Marco is sort of going to prove to be a little bit of a wild card for Victor and hard to control. That's in our next issue, we have the summer preview, and that's one of the things it talks about is that Victor's roosters are sort of going to come home and come home to roost, so to speak, and that's part of it. If you want to chime in on our May sweeps, I'd love to hear your thoughts. It's 347-989-0685. The interesting thing is I have a whole queue full of phone callers. But my queue is doing some weird things, and I can see in the in the chat room, people are saying that they're having difficulty. I'm hoping you guys can hear me and that we're not having technical difficulties. Wouldn't that just be exactly how my life goes, is that all of a sudden, you know, that tonight I have a guest and I don't actually have a broadcast. So I'm hoping, against hope, that y'all can hear me. Can someone in the message room actually let me know if you can hear me? I see some people saying that they are waiting for the host to call in or that they keep getting the commercial. I'm hoping that people can hear me. Or if you're on hold, if you're on one of the lines on hold and you want to join me and let me know that you can hear me, that would be awesome as well, because otherwise I feel like I'm just talking to myself. Okay, so at least Mickey, I know Mickey is out there and Mickey can hear me because Mickey has indicated as much. Apparently there are some big technical difficulties going on this evening. Hopefully that will not prevent tonight's guest from calling in. Again, the number is, oh my God, I almost read my guest number. I was going to give you my guest number, the number that I know to look for for when they call in. I almost said, and the number is, and gave you their number. Wouldn't that be problematic? Again, the number here to call in is 347-989-0685. If you want to talk to me, just push the number 1 and I will take your call. Apparently a lot of people are having difficulty hearing and I apologize for that. Hopefully you'll come back later and listen in in the archive and be able to hear it there. As I said, the next issue coming up is our summer preview issue. That should be going on sale very soon. Right now, we're going to move to the phone line, take our first caller here. It is 718. 718, you're on the line. What's up? 718, can you hear me? Oh, this is not going well. Let's try this one. I have a bad feeling we're having some major difficulties tonight. 325, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
That might be me.
That is you. Thank goodness.
All right.
Something is going right this evening. Who is this?
How about that? This is Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Guess
how are
what
you?
I got in my mail today,
you
Richard.
You got it? Oh, you know
yes.
What? I meant to, for those of you who don't know, this is Patty. She really went above and beyond when I was doing the AIDS walk a couple weeks ago. She rallied around me and was just incredibly generous. And I was really happy because I was also running a contest where we were putting the names of all my donors into a hat, and my office wife drew the name. And I can't tell you how happy I was that Patty's name was the one who won, because she was so super generous, and it was really cool. So I had sent her off her package, and I meant to ask you today if you had gotten it, because as you know, I sent Charlie to the post office with it, and Charlie is not always the most reliable person on the planet, so who knew if it was actually mailed or not? So I'm glad to hear that you got it.
But you also have to remember, I'm living in Texas. We are flooded in Texas. I was shocked when I got it today, because I still haven't gotten last week's CBS book yet.
how are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. I'm not in the flooded area per se. A lot of the areas around me are. We got it. In fact, when I hung a week ago tonight, we got it real bad, and we did flood. In fact, ABC News called me to see
really?
How I was doing, and the Weather Channel called me to see how we were doing. Ah, the joys of Twitter. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Patty, I'm so sorry. You know, I hope that everyone you know and all your family and stuff are all You know, I didn't even think about it. I knew you were in Texas because, of course, I put the mailing label on the package when I sent it, but I didn't,
right.
I didn't connect the dots. You know what I mean?
And I didn't connect it either when you said you were sending Charlie, you know, to the post office.
Well, I hope you enjoy a little bit.
But anyhow, we're doing fine, and it arrived here safe and sound. I just got back over from my neighbors, and it was sitting on my porch, and I'm like, and I opened the box up real quick because I had like 5 minutes before y'all started, and I'm just thrilled with everything. I can't wait to wear my bold and beautiful baseball cap.
Yeah. Let me just tell you something. I think every other soap should listen to this and hear me, because Bold and the Beautiful, not only is it, you know, a really awesome show, but they send out the best swag. I mean, I have gotten over the years from them, I have gotten an awesome book bag, not like some cheap book bag, some really, really nice book bag. I got a great beach towel. I've gotten sweaters. I've gotten T-shirt. I actually, when I was on a cruise last year, I sent out pictures to Eva, the publicist at Bold and Beautiful, showing that I had my Bold and Beautiful backpack and my Bold and Beautiful beach towel on the trip with me. They sent out the best stuff.
Really? I mean, it was, and I can't wait until I get into the brownie brittle.
Oh, yeah. Have you had it before?
No.
Well,
I've only heard about it because of you, so I'm just really anxious to get into it after we get off the phone tonight.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. Be prepared, because you are going to start selling belongings on eBay in order to finance your new brownie brittle addiction. It is crap.
Oh, really?
It is the most – I blame Dan. Dan got me hooked on it. By the way, for those of you who think that you know who tonight's guest is and think that it's Dan because, you know, Dan is such a frequent guest here, it is not Dan, because Dan has never resided in a soap opera town. And our guest tonight has resided in a soap opera town. So,
oh my!
Now, what do you think of the soaps these days? How did May Sweeps do for you?
I really enjoyed the live episodes of General Hospital. The two live episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really have to give the actors credit, because what they tape live. Because they were basically backtracking, because they had already taped, what, maybe 4 or 5 weeks in advance, so they knew stuff that was coming out that they had already, you know, recorded, and then to do it live, for example, the Franco and Nina wedding,
mm-hmm.
and to Rick. And for them to know that what Rick's real agenda was, but then to have to do it live and not know what his real agenda was, or if it was, you know, maybe it was really a, you know, Franco's nightmare. Yeah.
I agree. I thought, you know, when I didn't think about that aspect for a long time. You know, I knew they were doing the live episodes, and then it wasn't really until probably the day of the live episode that I was talking to one of the actors. And it suddenly clicked into me. Wait a minute, you're like 3. You know, they film about 3 weeks ahead. I said, so you film 3 weeks ahead, and now you have to go all the way back and like
exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, and I'm like, I couldn't. You know, and I didn't think about it on the Friday show, but because I DVR everything, and go back over the weekend and watch again, because I'm so addicted. Yeah, I'm so bad. But then when I was watching the Monday show, and I'm like, damn, these guys already know what's going to be coming down the line. How are they being able to act so good on this without, you know, acting like they didn't know?
Not only that,
I was so impressed.
The other thing that really impressed me was that they did it twice in a row, you know, because they
yeah.
both Friday and Monday, they went live at 2 o'clock Eastern time, and they went live at 3 o'clock Eastern time. And I thought, to do that and then turn around, reset, and do it all again in that short a period of time was
exactly
absolutely fascinating to me.
And what was fun on the Friday show is that here in Texas, at least at my place in Texas, I get the 1 o'clock show. And then you talk, well, it's 1 o'clock to me, 2 o'clock show for you guys.
Right.
And then you talked about the 3 o'clock show on Twitter. And on the ABC app, they showed the 3 o'clock show. And I had on my DVR the 2 o'clock show. And the differences, I mean, I really cracked up. Yeah, it was fun.
I wondered about that. Did you? I didn't actually watch both. I only watched the 3 o'clock show. Did you notice a lot of differences?
I did on the Friday show. I didn't on Monday, but I did on the Friday show. In fact, there's something on YouTube that shows about 7 minutes worth of differences of the two episodes.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think it was Kylio that, or however you pronounce his name on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
That had posted it.
I will definitely have to check that out because I actually meant to sort of watch both, but it just, you know, it's a crazy time of year for us too. So I didn't.
Oh, definitely.
Really wasn't able to.
Right. I'm also really enjoying The Bold and the Beautiful, whether it's May sweeps or not. This whole Maya thing,
mm-hmm.
and the way they are presenting it, I am so impressed with Bell. I mean, Brad, right? He's doing such a fantastic job, not sensationalizing it, even though Dollar Bill is. No.
Well, you know what? That to me is one of the things that really makes this story work is that Bill is being Bill, you know, and it's very
exactly.
easy when you write this kind of story. Young and the Restless, Young and the Restless over the years did many, many, many social issue stories, especially when, like, you know, they did a lot of stuff with Cricket and Nina over the years. And their social issue stories always sort of came off like someone was reading from a pamphlet because everything was so politically correct. And I love that The Bold and the Beautiful had Bill be Bill and spout the non-politically correct dialogue that he did because it was real. You know, like some people would have that attitude. And it's
yes.
how much more timely can you be with all of this, you know, with Caitlyn Jenner today? And
yes.
It's amazing.
And, yeah, exactly. I was thrilled, as you said earlier on Days, True O'Brien just rocked it last week.
And weren't you shocked? Weren't you like, where
I
the
was.
Heck has this been?
Exactly, you know, because everyone's like, you know, for months, you know, God, get rid of Paige, you know, they were calling her Beige, you know, and all this
mm-hmm.
stuff. And boy, she came out, you know, she is quite the actress.
You know,
my
I've
goodness.
Seen that happen. I've seen that happen a couple of times. For example, the first season of Dallas, the Dallas TNT reboot, when they had Cliff Barnes' daughter come on as, like, you know, this very nice girl, and she was okay. But then when they made her a bad girl, she was amazing. Same thing happened on Gotham over the course of this season with Barbara Gordon, where, you know, I wasn't really all that interested in her when she was good. Then at the end of the season, they started, like, connecting her with this psycho, and she was amazing. So it's funny how often once you let an actress really cut loose, you see just how fantastic and talented they really are.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's like Donna Mills today on General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Donna Mills is fascinating anyhow, but, I mean, just the way she plays. Yeah, you know, she is. I mean, she put Rick in his place. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I like when she said to him, "Sit your ass down."
Down.
I was like, "Ooh, that's Abby Ewing coming out right there. She's here to play."
You betcha. You betcha. Young and the Restless. I'm not thrilled with what's going on there right now. I mean, yeah, there's some things. Okay, but I'm not thrilled with what Mr. Platt is doing with, I mean, they're ruining it for me.
It's funny because I hear that.
But
over
that's
and
my
over
opinion,
again.
You know.
No, I agree. I hear it over and over again. There are things that I definitely don't like as well. What I'm interested in is keeping an eye on the ratings, you know, because that's what matters. And what's weird to me is I keep, you know, I've been saying, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this. And then I look at the ratings. Like, the new ratings came out, I think, Saturday.
I couldn't believe that they were doing so good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're up over half a million from last year. I mean, they lost some viewers this week compared to last week, but not what I would have expected given the level of you know, what seems to be viewer outrage. But what might be happening is longtime viewers might be tuning out and new viewers are tuning in. And if that's the case, I mean, I don't like that, but that's what they want. So, you know,
yeah.
If that's the case, then it's tough. You know, it's really, really tough because I, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, they are doing a lot of things that to me aren't necessarily what I consider to be good soap opera. But if they come in and they take, you know, a show that's already a success and make the ratings go higher, what do you say? You know, do you say, oh, my God,
exactly,
everything I've ever known about, everything I ever thought I knew about soap operas is wrong, you know?
Right, right. It's
tough.
Anyhow, I know you've got other people that probably want to talk to you.
Well, listen, Patty, I want to thank you so much for your support during the AIDS walk.
I'm going to call in, and I will tell you about my experience about 25-plus years ago when I was on set of One Life to Live.
Oh, my gosh. Call me next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll be in touch with Twitter. We'll talk to you
soon.
Okay,
talk to you soon. Thanks, Patty.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad that she got her package. I didn't even think about the fact that she's in Texas. 218, you're on the air. We've got just a couple minutes here before I bring on our very special guest. Who am I talking to and what's on your mind?
This is Sharon, Richard. How are you today?
Hey, Sharon, I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You were talking about ratings a minute ago, and it's always been I've always been curious as to how the ratings are accumulated, and I've heard different stories, and one of the things I have heard, and please straighten me out on it if you know, that Young and Restless's ratings are always so high because they are viewed in other countries, and those countries are counted where they're not on the other shows. Any truth to that at all?
I'm sorry. What was the question? Hold on. I'm sorry. I've got our guest talking to me on a message and saying that they're having trouble getting in. I'm just going to text them while we talk. What was your question again?
Well, I have heard from a couple of different sources that the reason that the Y&R ratings are always so much higher than the other shows is because they're broadcast in other countries and the ratings or the viewership in the other countries is counted in that percentage.
No, not true at all. First of all, if that was true, The Bold and the Beautiful would be far higher rated because The Bold and the Beautiful is the show with the highest ratings. And I mean, The Bold and the Beautiful is a show that has the bigger international market. It's huge. It's you know, shown all over the world. So if that were true, if they were counting international ratings, then it would be The Bold and the Beautiful would be the number one show. I've heard that too, and I don't know where that comes from. Sometimes you can figure out where, like, an urban legend comes from, but that one I cannot figure out for the life of me where it comes from.
Well, that's good to know. I appreciate that. Your last caller was talking about the live shows for General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I enjoyed them, and yes, I did see the differences in the YouTube clip between the first and the second day one shows, and there were obvious differences. I think maybe because the first one, they might have been a little nervous, and by the second go-around, they had relaxed a little bit. But one thing I did appreciate, I don't know who planned it, whether it was Frank or whoever backstage, but they did the Periscope tour between during the commercial breaks. I was fascinated with that because I have always wanted to take a tour of the studio. And this kind of gave us a bird's eye view of how the sets are set up and lined up and how the thing is all done. And I got a whole new appreciation for what they deal with every day.
I agree. I thought that was, I don't know exactly whose idea that was, whether it was, you know, Frank or someone, Nathan Barney or someone else behind the scenes, but I thought that was such a cool idea. I was really, and I thought it was interesting that they also used it to break news, because they actually used it to, you know, announce that it was, that Sean Blakemore was leaving. And of course, this was another one of those situations where he had already filmed his last episodes, like, you know, I think a week earlier or something, but came back for the live episode. So, yeah, that was really neat. Sharon, I'm going to let you go ahead. Please, sorry I have to cut you short. I usually don't have a guest, but I'm having a guest tonight, and I want to get to them. I can't really tell if this is them or not, but we're going to take a guess. Now, if in a moment, guest, I'm going to say, is this you? And if it's you, respond yes, but don't say anything else, and then I'll introduce you, because that's how modern technology is working tonight. Special guest, is this you?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. It's coming up not under your phone number, so okay, guys. I am really, really excited about this. So I have wanted to do this for a while, because our guest tonight made a really big impression on me almost immediately upon first appearing in Genoa City. I am sad to say that our guest this evening also made a very big impression on me when they died recently in Genoa City. So in case you haven't guessed, our guest tonight is Jeffrey Todd, who played Tobias. He went from the adorable lab geek who was working with Ashley to making one of my favorite recent drunk scenes to dying after uttering only one word. Jeffrey, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us for a bit.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. You've been amazing to me, so it's my honor to be talking to you here.
Well, you know, I've got to say, you're one of those people who there are people in the acting community who really know how to use social media well. You know, you have been a really good advocate for the show. You know, you're fun, you're interactive, you talk to fans, you talk to me, we talk to each other. You know, and I think that's so important that it really helps build the sense of community when you can have actors who are interacting with the fans via Twitter. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. You know, actually, I didn't really even have a Twitter account before I did Young and the Restless, and so that was all very new to me, and so I'm glad I am doing it well, because I've just been learning as I go.
Well, okay, I have to ask you, before we even talk about the Young and the Restless, what was it like, because this is something I have dreamed of doing, and you got to do it. What was it like to be a bartender on Watch What Happens Live?
Well, that was pretty amazing. That was pretty surreal, and I have to say that it was a coup that it even worked out. And it turns out that I have one of my college friends works on the show, and he suggested it, and I, of course, was thrilled, and it worked out perfectly, because it was literally a week after my kind of original send-off from Young and the Restless. So it was a great way to take advantage of that and also be reunited with Eileen, who's been just the best co-star and scene partner. It was great. It was kind of crazy, because it was in the middle of, like, the blizzard of 2015, and it wasn't so live. We actually taped it. It was supposed to air on Monday night, we taped it Monday afternoon.
Is Eileen Davidson as amazing as she seems? I tweeted her. Said after one episode or something. I said, you know what? I want Eileen Davidson to be like my best friend. I want to go drinking with her. I want to hang out with her all the time. And she tweeted me back and she said, well, I'm here. Come over. You know. I'm like, well, you know, there's about 3,000 miles between us. But other than that, is she as awesome as she seems?
She is, and I'll give you a perfect example. So my very first day, you know, I'm excited, but I'm, you know, nervous. It's like first day of school, and I report to the makeup and hair room, and there she is. And I don't know if you know my history, but I actually used to intern for Young and the Restless many moons ago. So I'm very familiar with the show and a big fan of hers. And a huge fan. I'm a geek for all the Housewife franchises. So it was pretty cool to meet her. And right away she says, "Are you playing Tobias?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Great, do you want to run some lines?" And we just sat there and we ran lines. And it turns out I have a friend that works on the Housewives with her, who's like her line, her segment producer. And so he already talked about me. And so she was just very familiar with me and she knew all about me. And it was just, I couldn't have been a more welcoming experience. And that was the first person that I really met. So she's awesome. She's effing
that's
awesome.
Also, that's also got to be kind of great having, you know, when you join a soap, no matter how long you're going to be on it, whether you're there as a you know, background player or you're joining as a new contract player, everybody has that first day. And that mm-hmm. first day, you're walking into a set full of people who, many of whom have worked together for 10, sometimes 20 or more years, and here you are, this new person strutting in who doesn't know anybody, doesn't know anything. So it's got to be nice that your first encounter, the first person you encounter is someone that, you know, sort of cool and welcoming.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you the truth, everyone is like that.
And that's my office. Everybody's one big happy family.
You know, everyone that I've encountered, I guess I should say. But so I can't speak for everybody. But honestly, the most, I'll tell you what. Like my last on my last shoot day on the big drunken party scene, where I got to literally do my scenes in front of the entire cast. I mean, talk about being nervous. But everyone, Christoph, Peter, of course, Eileen, Eric, they all came up to me afterwards and, you know, congratulated me on my work and, you know, were very complimentary and supportive. And that has been my experience. There's really no ego. I mean, some people know their characters and they're sort of in that world and they're very present, you know, in the scenes. Mm-hmm. But no one, I've not encountered anyone who is a diva or, you know, negative. Everyone has been, you know, they've been there before, you know, and they know how.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lady was talking about the periscoping and seeing the behind the scenes. What people mm-hmm. don't realize about behind the scenes is that it's rough, it's fast, and it's furious. And you know, you get one rehearsal, one take, maybe two, if like you know the light fell or something. But other than that, it's like you go, and everyone knows that, and everyone respects that. And if you come in knowing your stuff, I mean, the respect level you receive just goes up, you know. And I always showed up really on top of it and ready to go, and especially working opposite of Eric. And I just think I established that I was, you know, serious and ready, and I got that back. And so it was lovely. I actually missed them, and it was just a great place to go to work.
When Tobias left the first time, after he was exposed as being the adorable lab rat that he is and being a spy, did they tell you at that time, oh, by the way, you're going to come back, or was that sort of a surprise to you?
No,
it was
such a surprise.
Surprise
I actually, I was surprised that I was actually written off so soon, to be honest, because initially I wasn't given a number of episodes. It was all sort of nebulous, but I was told it would
right.
be sort of Even you were the first person to report, and my mom still has the printout on her bulletin board and kitchen, by the way. But that would be extensive, recurring, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when I read that script that I was being fired, I was kind of surprised. But the casting director, Judy, told me, you know, you never know. You never know. So that's all I knew. And even on my last day, I was sort of a little Eeyore about it because I was really sad to go because I had such a great time. And, you know, the producers, as I was saying, my goodbyes, you know, everyone said, well, it's never a goodbye. It's just, you know, a so long, you know. And that was – I lived with that. I thought I was lying to myself, so I kind of made myself believe that I would come back. Wishful thinking, and if people asked me, I would say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm still recurring, so, you know, any time, you know, whenever they need me, I'm available. So when they called me 3 months ago to, you know, get me signed on, it was a huge surprise. And by the way, big secret, I wasn't even allowed to tell my mom. So they take it very seriously over at Young the Restless, and it was a real big reveal. And I wasn't allowed to speak to anybody except, of course, my manager who called me with the offer. But it was very hush hush, my return.
Which makes it even fun. I'm a big fan of. I mean, I'm old school. I've been watching soaps for more years, many more years than you've been alive. And for me, one of the things that makes it fun is when they can do something that catches people off guard. I mean, I know I was tweeting that day as I do most days, and when Tobias walked on, I was floored because I simply, I did not expect to see Tobias again. And now I have to tell you, and I'm sure you already know this, there were some people out there shipping the idea of a Tobias Abbey kind of thing. They even started calling you guys Tabby. I don't know, maybe you started.
Toby.
That. I don't know.
Toby.
Toby, right. that would have been kind of sweet. I mean, there was some fun there.
Definitely. Trust me, every day I went to work, Tobias tried to flirt with Abby. And they never quite made it on camera. They were never quite cut to my – what?
Did the voice of God, whoever was in the booth that day say, what are you doing, Jeffrey? You're not supposed to be flirting with her.
No, I don't think anyone ever noticed. It was my subtext, but and that, she did, and of course, Mel didn't notice either. So bless her. She's very nice, but it wasn't in the script. It wasn't at all intended subtext. So my my little looks and stuff never quite registered on anybody really. So the things we do to stick around,
They must have at least registered on part of the audience because there were people out there shipping it. So you got that going.
That's true, but I think they obviously had different plans down the line. So, but the casting director always said, we got to get you either married or related. So stay tuned.
the drunk scene, the infamous
yes.
drunk scene, climbing up on top of the bar. Doing a drunk scene. Now, first of all, soaps are very well known for their party scenes in which someone comes in drunk and makes a scene. And I have to say, you did the genre proud.
Oh,
how
thank
do you.
Prepare
you. For something like that?
Well, you know what? Well, two things. One, I was kind of horrified because, I read the script and I knew that Melody was already doing a drunk thing. And so I didn't want to be belligerent, And also, I didn't want to be comical. I think that's what I loved about Tobias, that he had so many different edges, and one of them was a little bit of a comedic edge, which I love that the writers put that in there. So that was definitely there, but I didn't want to go overboard and I didn't want to come off as a schmactor. And so I was a little concerned about that. But Owen was very clear with me when I came in for my, previous episode that he definitely wanted it to be sort of big and drunk. So my dear friend Kelly Sullivan and I got together and we really worked the material and came up with a lot of stuff and really kind of dug in. We did acting 101 and we went to what was really at stake and what was really happening. And so I didn't go in to play drunk. I really went in to play the scene, and that sounds like a really cheesy actor, but that's what I did, and I'm glad it came off well.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so much fun. And the funny thing is, it was an important moment, obviously. It was a very, very big moment. But at the same time, it was also just wildly entertaining. And that's, let's face it, that's what people tune into soaps for, is to be entertained.
Right.
And that's exactly what they got out of it. You used a term that I have not heard before. I believe you called it schmactor?
Schmacting. Schmacting.
That's what is schmacting?
You've never heard of the term before?
I have never heard of this. I've heard of smizing on American
Idol. Okay.
Well, you are going to see a new one.
A schmactor is someone who is sort of like, overacting. Or is like literally being like a caricature, or chewing the scenery, and just basically an unbelievable and over the top. So I didn't want to do that because I knew I would ride the line, and my instinct was to kind of make it a little less. I was, but Owen definitely wanted it bigger, and because I had done the work with Kelly and really worked with the script and, you know, really knew it inside out and knew what I was trying to say, what my intentions were, that I was okay going for it, you know, because I felt very secure and grounded in what I was trying to get across. So I was able to have fun, which I had to, because it was going to be really, if I went in there just, you know, knowing my lines and just kind of just going for it, doing it in front of all those people would have been just a disaster. So I wanted to make sure that I was ready and game and, you know, unshakable.
You know, over the course of just a few episodes, you got to do both a drunk scene and a death scene. I mean, first of all, talk about amazing for a reel, you know? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I've got these two amazing things within a couple of episodes. But also, there are two things that, you know, now, granted, actors don't necessarily want to play death scenes on soaps because, well, that means dead. But
yeah,
at the same time, I mean, it's a great emotional challenge. How did you prepare for that?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, everyone, you know, keeps saying, oh, I'm so sorry. And I go, don't be sorry. That it was like an actor's dream come true to come back to the soap that I thought I was already sort of off. So to be invited back to be sent off that way was just a gift. And so I'm so thankful to Chuck Pratt and the writing team and the entire producing team for believing in me enough to bring me back to kind of end my story, you know, and with that kind of arc, which was such a wonderful experience. You know, I don't know. I didn't prepare all that much for that much. I mean, I just kind of, I was laying in bed and just feeling the pain and feeling the regret. And in my estimation, Tobias was sort of really weighed down by life choices. And I so desperately tried to get people to know the truth and to expose everything that was happening, and I had a lot of guilt on my conscience, and I was just using that and just trying to get it out. And Owen was like, you are like hemorrhaging inside, and it's, you know, you're on death. My first, you know, I told you we get one rehearsal and one take. So in the rehearsal, or actually the first scene where I say, you need to know, Owen said, that's a little too much energy in that one. So
you're dying here. You're dying.
So on my final scene, it was very much like I used every ounce of energy and strength I had just to get those words out. And I was, you couldn't see it because I was kind of physically doing it too, but I was like very constricted, and I was like, my hands were
very,
you know,
tense, like the whole body was very tense.
Yeah.
Very, like, you know, almost like you were it was almost like sort of pushing up against someone that was holding you down.
Yeah.
I thought it was very cool.
Well, I'm glad that read, you know, and I was kind of had tears of regret in my eyes. I wanted them to know. I couldn't leave this planet without getting it off my chest. And you know what?
I thought you had makeup in your eye. I mean, you got, you know, there's a lot of things.
Now, come on.
You got to wear all the dead people makeup.
I have done a TV show where I had to cry on cue, and they definitely blew menthol crystals in my eye. That does happen, but this was not one of them.
Really? Menthol crystals?
It was a show I did with...
We are learning secrets here tonight.
I know. It was a show I did with Hank Azaria called Free Agents, which lasted like 4 episodes. I was on the 4th episode, and I had to cry on cue, but it was a comedic, you know, kind of scene, and my scene partner kept kind of missing the mark, and so we kept doing it over and over again, and, you know, we literally took 20 takes, and so the makeup people were kind enough to use this secret that I didn't even know about, but it's a contraption that has, like, menthol inside of it, and they blow it in your eyes. And then, like, you know, within 10 seconds, you water up and you cry. And after the 20th take, Hank Azaria leaned over to me and goes, sure beats doing the real thing, huh?
Now, wait a minute. My housemate, Charlie and Gary, would tell you that it's a running joke in our house that if it's on television, I've seen it. No matter what it is, I have watched it because I do watch a lot of television. I have never heard of this show. What was this show?
It was on NBC. Hank Azaria and Todd Holland was the creator and original director, and it was about these Hank Azaria and this woman who were working in like a advertising agency, but they were also lovers, and it was them. It was a workplace comedy. It
was
just
it
did
good?
Not work.
I thought it was
good.
Any good.
I thought
I
it
mean,
was
come
good.
On, let's face it. Let's face it. A lot of bad things get on television.
It
I'm
was good.
Saying.
Just I think just I think it just people weren't ready for it. It missed the mark, and it didn't get very good ratings. And yeah. It
yeah,
was just
and what really sucks is you were in
yeah.
the fourth of four episodes, so it's not even like you were in that first episode where everybody's sampling it. You know, you're like, you're in the fourth episode where it's just kind of like limping to... We had
well, what's
to
funny is
week.
It was supposed to be canceled after the third episode, and then they decided to release the fourth episode. So I was lucky enough to make the air, and they had shot like eight. So I'm one of the lucky ones that got their episode aired, you know? It
so basically, you are a lucky charm. I mean, you get written off the Young Adults, and then you get brought back to, you know, you die, sure, but you get brought back. You're on a show. They're only supposed to air three episodes. They air four, and it happens to be your episode. So if you're an actor out there listening to this, you know, you really should want to work opposite Jeffrey, because apparently he can get your life extended.
Well, I like your positivity. Very good. I'll use that.
So what else you got going on these days?
Well, right now I'm doing this amazing show. It's called Romeo and Juliet, Love is a Battlefield. And it's Romeo and Juliet meets the music of Pat Benatar. And we're doing it at this amazing space in L.A. in Los Feliz called Rockwell. And it stars Corbin Bleu from High School Musical and Ashley Argata, who is on The Fosters on ABC Family. And actually, the creator and executive producer of The Fosters, Bradley Bredewig, created it and wrote it and directed it. So it's a really great theatrical piece that's been running in L.A. for a while. We just reopened, and we're running through August, and it's been getting great response, and it's a lot of fun.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Theater is, you know, theater is kind of where I got my training. And what's really cool about Young and the Restless and Judy Bligh Wilson in particular, our casting director, is they love theater actors because they know that they're fast and they can pick things up and they've studied their craft and, you know, they're diligent. I don't know if you know this, but Kelly Sullivan is a huge Broadway actress. She did Young Frankenstein, the musical, and a lot of them have theater background, and Judith Chapman, who I really wish I worked with, but I have not. She does a lot of theater, so it's cool. So it's cool to check
have
back
gotten,
in. And yeah.
Have you gotten to see Judith Chapman's
Vivian?
I forgot the name of the show. Yeah, have you gotten to see it?
I have not.
I haven't either. I'm dying to. It sounds incredible.
I mean, I think she's great. So, I've not seen that, but I would like to as well. I'm sure she's wonderful.
I keep hoping
wonderful.
That they bring it to New York. I think that's one of the worst things about, you know, obviously there's a lot of bad things about so many of the shows being canceled. But one of the worst is that there are no longer New York-based soaps. And it was always kind of great for New York-based soap actors that they could do Broadway, you know, and do the soaps at the same time.
Oh, right.
Do you see the same thing sort of in L.A.? Like, I don't really know that much about the L.A. theater scene, to be honest.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, the cool thing about being on a soap, again, a little behind-the-scenes peek, but it's a really great job. It's like regular office hours. Like, you rarely are you out past 7. And if you're called in early, maybe you're called in around 6 in the morning, but they shoot 4 days a week. And it's, if you're doing a night show, I mean, it's like so convenient, you know, you have Friday through Sunday off. So it's pretty cool.
I'm assuming if you shoot four days a week, then you're shooting more than one episode a day.
Yeah. Well, that's what's crazy. Here's another peek. This is for that viewer and everyone else. But they shoot up to, like, you know, 3 episodes a day. My very first day that I shot, I actually shot 2 episodes because they film according to the set. So if they, like, for instance, they film all the – if they have crimson lights scenes, you know, over a course of several episodes, they will just shoot those episodes all in one day. and then they'll, you know, so that way it's economical. It's, you know, you get in and out, and there's not a lot of redundancy.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so you could be like, you know, doing one scene, but you're actually like, you know, 2 days ahead or something, and so you have to, yeah, kind of have to keep, you know, keep your mind in the game. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine.
Were you familiar with the show before you joined?
Yeah, like I said, when I was 19,
you
interned. Yeah, yeah. I'm about to out myself for my age, but I interned the summer of 1999.
I tried to help you out as best I could.
I know, it's okay, it's okay. I look young, but yeah, so I interned that summer, and you know, Eric was on, and of course Melody, and it was a lot of different people, but you know, Patty, our makeup lead, was there then, and it was great. I mean, it was really fun, and part of what I think made my transition easy was that I got to witness from in the booth, watching them film the shows, and how different people worked, and I knew how Eric Braeden worked. And it always, like, really sat in my mind because I thought it was very interesting. But he's so in character all the time. And sometimes, especially in rehearsals, like, you know, the scene may end, but he'll keep going. And sometimes I think that, you know, he'll improv, or you know, or he might change a line because in the moment it feels better. And so you're always on your toes. And I think if you're not prepared for that, that can really throw you off. But if you're ready for it, which I was, it's kind of exciting and fun. So,
have you ever done improv?
Yeah, I've done improv. Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that, especially like within the context of, you know, a scene. I'm sort of a disaster when it comes to comedic improv, but but within the scene, you know, in the context of whatever, if you're comfortable enough and you know what your intentions are and you know where the scene is going, you know, and you're present, then, which is what your theater background training is essential for, that when Eric is there and he starts kind of throwing things at you, you know, instead of freezing and like going, wait, what, you throw it back. And then that was what was so fun with working with him. And after, you know, my second and third time doing scenes with him, he realized that I was game and totally available to, you know, do that with him. And he really enjoyed that. So that's, I think we had some nice chemistry. It was fun.
I completely agree. Carla Moseley, who plays Maya on The Bold and the Beautiful, recently said that one of the most important things, you know, when you think of acting, you think of emoting and speaking and all that. She said, but one of the things that truly, truly good actors do is stay in character and listen, you know, so that they are reacting to what the person opposite them said it, instead of just standing there waiting for their next line.
Oh, the most important thing to do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially on a soap, because, you know, it's so fast, and sometimes, you know, people skip lines or, you know, whatever happens. And, you know, if you're waiting for your cue line per se, you know, you're the one that's going to look like an idiot when, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. And everyone on that show is like that. I'll tell you what, Christoph is amazing. And I loved working with him on that last episode. And I wish I would have had more opportunities. But we had a love fest afterwards because I was like, man, you're so present. Thank you for being such a generous actor. And he said the same thing to me. And it was just, it's so great to work with really quality professional people, especially on that show. And there were so many of them who were just so at the top of their game and, you know, so talented. I think soap opera actors are often underestimated and undervalued. I mean, they're pretty amazing.
I have to assume that if another soap came knocking on your door, you'd say, I'm coming on in.
without a doubt. I really have so enjoyed my experience on Young and the Restless that I would be 100% game to do another one. I never thought, in all my training and all my years, being on a soap opera was never kind of on the periphery. I never quite imagined that, you know, because I don't see myself as being, you know, the hunky leading man. So it's kind of trippy to have been on the show and to have been so well received and to just be comfortable with it. So I would love to try it again.
Well, Jeffrey, I really want to thank you so, so much for coming on. I hope we'll continue to see you on the Twitterverse, and I hope that very soon we'll see you on another show, because I think, you know, it's interesting you say that you didn't ever really see yourself going in on soaps because, you know, not leading man, whatever. But I think that so has changed over the last few years. You know, you look at actors like Bradford Anderson, who aren't your traditional, you know, soap leading men. Same thing with women. There are many women on soaps now that weren't necessarily your traditional type 10, 20 years ago. And I think that it's more fun to have good actors who are, and you know what, oh my God, this is so awful because this makes us sound like we're sitting here saying, oh, you poor unattractive thing, you know, and you're not, it's not like you're unattractive, you know, oh, the poor thing, he left, how did that happen?
Poor flower.
poor thing.
No, you know what I mean, and I know what you mean.
Exactly, but I think that, you know, when you have, I think I would rather have a really quirky, good actor who is into it in the moment and loves what he's doing than someone who, you know, who has six-pack abs and is flat as a board, but, you know, acting-wise. I'm
right,
screwing
right.
this whole thing up. This is the worst.
Use your words.
Ever.
Well, I am just so grateful to you, and you were the first person to, like, get the news out, and you have been such an advocate from day one, and I love tweeting back and forth with you. You've made this experience so fun, and I have to say that you and then the viewers and the fans are just the best, and this sort of interaction is what has made this experience so wonderful and memorable, and so thank you to you, and thank you for having me on the show, and this was more fun than I could have imagined.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. You know, we try and make it as good as an experience as possible. And where can people keep up with you as we wait to see where you land?
Well, of course, on Twitter at Jeffrey Todd with 1D. And my website is jeffreychristophertodd.com. And I'm active on the Twitter. Was it called the Twitterverse? Is that what it's called?
The Twitter machine. Active on the Twitter machine, as my grandpa said.
I mean,
on the Twitter machine.
I don't have as many followers as Caitlyn Jenner, but, you know, please follow me. And I try to be fun.
That.
And what?
We'll try and change that.
Yes, I would love it. Please follow me on Twitter, and you'll have a fun time because I enjoy it, and it's good.
All right. Well, for those of you just tuning in, that was Jeffrey Todd, who played Tobias, the adorable lab geek who came to a sad, and although who knows, it is soap, so you never know, we might see Tobias rise from the grave at some point down the line, or maybe he'll wind up on one of our other shows. But we will definitely keep up with Jeffrey and his future because he's a really fun guy and fun to talk to. So I want to thank everybody for dealing with the difficulties we had tonight. I know that people in the chat room were getting kicked out and couldn't hear, and the episode will be in the archive in a couple hours. I think it goes up 2 or 3 hours afterwards. So thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties that go along with the cheap-ass nature of Blog Talk Radio. I'm Richard Sims, the executive editor of Soaps in Depth, and as always, you can find me at Soaps in Depth ABC, Soaps in Depth CBS. My personal account is at How Rude Are You. You can find me on Facebook. You pretty much can't hit the internet without finding me because I think I am on like 90% of it. I want to thank Jeffrey again for coming on. I want to thank all of you for being here. We'll be back again next week with a new episode, unless, of course, we're not for some reason. And remember, because it's Soaps, what do you have to do? Tune in tomorrow. I'm moving on, I'm moving fast. I'm proud.